Hey everybody, real quick before we get to today's episode, I just wanted to remind you all about Jupiter Jet Volume 2. It's by friends of the show, Jason Inman and Ashley Robinson. And I love Jupiter Jet. The Volume 1 was such a favorite of mine and my daughter, who at the time was 6 years old, and she loved it so much, and we really bonded over it. The first comic that she couldn't wait to read and you know, didn't want to put down, and she even was the first person ever to cosplay as Jupiter Jet and got to meet Jason and Ashley. So that was really cool. Jupiter Jet has a special place in my heart, as you can tell. And I've read the first 20 pages of Volume 2, and it has that same really all-ages wholesome feel. You know, the first volume had that classic pulp Rocketeer feel to it, maybe mixed with a little DC Superhero Girls. And the second volume is picking up right where that left off, maybe with the stakes raised a little bit, I'll say. And Jason and Ashley always throw a bunch of twists and turns that are a lot of fun as well. So there's a link to go and check out the article on LRM Online to read more details about the Kickstarter. And there's also a link to the Kickstarter itself so you can go and support it. I highly recommend it. It's a great, fun, all-ages book. And if you have a young boy or girl, I think they'll enjoy it just as much as my daughter does. So thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoy the episode. Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Webtoon Wednesday episode, and today we're going to be talking about a strip called The Yeomanville Gang, which I found to be a really fun read. In fact, I read all 43 episodes that are out in one sitting. I literally couldn't put it down, and I have the strip creator, Jason King, joining me. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jace. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I can't wait to talk a little bit about the strip and let everybody know what it's all about. But before we get to that, I always like to talk a little bit with creators when they come on, sort of about their background from comics. Obviously, with that accent, as people heard, probably know that you're not from the United States. But I know yeah. Comics are a big part of a lot of people's childhood over there in the UK as well. So was that the case for you? Did you grow up reading comics? Were they a part of your childhood?
Yes, indeed. Maybe not as big as other creators, but I used to, growing up at school, I used to collect Cartoon Network comics, like monthly. And I think they were called, another one was called Cartoon Comics, which were basically the same thing, but yeah, they were a massive influence. Like those like inspired me to start doing comics in the first place. I was doing drawing beforehand, but I never quite knew how to create a story on paper until I started reading them. So yeah, massive influence. Yeah,
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And obviously, growing up as a teenager, I discovered manga as well, but not as much as an influence as it is with the more Western comics.
Yeah, was there a time where Western comics, the superhero stuff, captured your imagination, or was it more the European stuff?
Well, in terms of superhero, that was more to do with animation. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to love Justice League and Justice League Unlimited growing up as a teen. So yeah, they were an influence, but not in comic book form, but in animation form.
Gotcha. Now, right. When you went to go on to some secondary education, was that a focus for you? Did you think at that point already, I want to become a comic creator? Let me pursue that, either going to school to learn about sequential storytelling or animation or that kind of thing?
Yeah. In fact, when I was at secondary school, which is the equivalent of high school in the West, I was drawing comics in class. And what was nice is that my teachers weren't too hard on me for doing it. They were like, yeah, they were really good. Keep at it. Even my art teacher was like, yeah, these are good comics, but we need to do work. That was basically what it was like growing up. And obviously, I did a lot of it at home as well.
And now is the Yeomanville Gang, that's the strip that's on Webtoon, is this your first published work, or have you previously had some work that some of our listeners may have seen either in digital or in print form?
I'd say this is like the first official publish I've ever had. Previously, the only sort of stuff I published would be on DeviantArt back in the day, in like the late 2000s, which I did originally post Yeomanville Gang on there, but different iteration. It's done in pencil and paper, and to be honest, it's a bit crude. So this is actually the one that's on Webtoon is my second attempt at it, which I think is a lot better, to be honest, which hence why I started again. So yeah, that's really the only sort of previous work that I've quote-unquote published, but it's really unofficial. Gotcha. So yeah, this is my first official, I would say.
Yeah, well, you know, the improvement there, that's what you strive for as an artist, right? You want to constantly keep challenging yourself, mm-hmm. and improving and such. So, and the other part of it, in terms of the actual story, a lot of times as creators, if you've lived more life and had more life experiences, you kind of bring that to the story and it ends up having a more polished feel. So in both aspects, both from, you know, in terms of writing and in terms of illustration, you should expect improvement over time, I would hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you can hope. Can be a struggle, but you can hope.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Always a struggle. Well, let's give mm-hmm. our listeners an idea of what the story is about. Tell us about the Yeomanville Gang.
The story focuses mainly around Layla, who's a new student in a place called Yeomanville. And she befriends Dylan, Sally, Marv, and Joe. From there, it's very much about her and the gang's journey on their relationships with one another. But of course, things get a bit more complicated once some, let's say, new feelings for her start coming into play. And also a rather unsavory character tries to stick their nose in amongst it all in the meantime. So it's, to be honest, it's probably not the most complicated story. Well, I'd say it's uncomplicated story, but it's more about the characters than anything else. Yeah, about their journey. And they, yeah, that's sort of what drives the plot along. Although that's what it's like, it's face value. There is a lot more to her, or to Layla in particular, as the story goes on, it's always revealed about her. And although it's maybe labeled as a drama on Webtoon, this story is, I like to think, is balanced out with romance, sprinkling of slice of life, and some lightheartedness as well. So yeah, it's a story people probably have heard before, but I like to think it's got a bit more of a unique take on it. So yeah.
Yeah, one thing you notice right from the first episode is you get a little meta sometimes, you know? Sometimes these characters will make comments where it's almost like they realize they're in a comic strip. And the other thing you notice right away is your sense of humor that you bring to the strip is a little bit on the slapstick side. And so I really appreciated those couple of things, because those two aspects of the story, they sort of go hand in hand a little bit. And it gives it kind of a lighter feel. And it's a bit refreshing from a lot of other strips where, you know, you've got some romance or you've got some drama. High school kids, and it's everything is the end of the world, and it's really heavy. You've managed to lighten it up with bringing this bit of humor into the strip. Is that just your sensibility? Is that your type of humor, or did you purposefully bring that to the strip to sort of lighten it up a little bit?
I always like to think that is sort of my sense of humor, but at the same time, I try not to go too far, because sometimes my sort of preferences are a bit surreal. Like, I love a show called The Mighty Boosh, but I don't think necessarily that kind of humor would fit here. But yeah, it's definitely a part of me, like, being put onto canvas here. And preferably I like stories that do try to balance things out in terms of, like, moods. Like, I guess I shouldn't really compare it, but I liked the golden era of The Simpsons. What I liked about certain stories for that is that it could be funny and have like some sort of drama element to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Episodes.
Kind of like real life. It's not all of one thing or all of another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try not to... Try not to emotionally drain audiences.
Yeah, that's a good way.
With just one mood.
Yeah, good way to
put it. That's just my preference, of course.
Now, you mentioned Layla. She's kind of our POV character. She's new to the school. She tends to be a little introverted and... you know, it's kind of the way the story starts off with some of the other characters wanting to get to know her, and they sort of have some established friendships. Can you go through some of the other main characters and sort of describe to us how you see them?
I guess I'll start off with Dylan then, if we've already established Layla to an extent. Dylan is a bit more... short-sighted off the punch, and he can actually be just as about as like introverted as Layla. I think he's a bit more of a bit insecure about certain things, which I'll try not to spoil. But even though he's quite naive as well, his heart is usually in the right place, so to speak. And second character would be Sally, who is basically the wing person of the story. Maybe her biggest flaw is that she can try and be a bit too helpful sometimes with the characters, but again, she has her own personal struggles as the story goes on, and maybe she even has like a romantic relationship later on. Again, I'm trying not to spoil things here.
Right.
I guess I'll move on to Joe, who is... how to say, more slower on the uptake compared to the rest of the group, but he's definitely the most optimistic as well, which I think is his best strength. And it takes a lot for him to get under his skin compared to the rest of the group. And he's also freakishly strong in places. Again, he's a strong boy. And finally, there is Marv, who as well... has a tendency to not say the most appropriate things, especially to those of the opposite gender. But yeah, at least wears his heart on his sleeve for the most part. And regardless of his flaws, he will have the group's back.
Yeah,
so, that's sort of a summary of the five main characters.
Yeah, and one thing you kind of mentioned with all the characters, and it's a sharp contrast to who has been the character who's been the antagonist through the first part of the story here, is that those five, that the gang, so to speak, they all have their heart in the right place. They all have each other's back. It's true friendship. I think you can point to examples in episodes for every one of the characters so far where they've put the feelings of another one of the members of the gang ahead of themselves, you know, somebody else's well-being ahead of themselves, as opposed to Mika, who it's all about her, you know. She's just not a likable character, and I've been trying to find my way in there, and that, you know, we do see some things that happen with her home life and such that you kind of think, well, maybe there's a reason that she's the way she is, and that might give her a little redemption down the line. But I love the fact that you are showing that these are teenage characters, but there is an emotional maturity to some extent with the fact that they do understand self-sacrifice. They do understand, you know, the meaning of friendship and loyalty. Was that something that you wanted to showcase, or is it just kind of a byproduct of the type of characters that you've created here, you think?
Oh, no. Yeah, I suppose it's a little bit both, actually. Again, I'm trying to make the relationship somewhat realistic. Again, in hindsight, it's probably a bit too rushed, but not to say that it's not always about power of friendship. Like, although they may have each other's back, the characters will make mistakes. That's at least what I've tried to aim for the story, is that these characters aren't perfect, and they may annoy each other, so to speak, putting that mildly. Again, I'm trying to not spoil things at the same time. And again, with Misha, it's pronounced, by the way, just so everybody knows. I can understand the confusion. Yeah, I don't want to make her just like a typical bully. I want to actually add a bit of depth to her as well. That's what my aim is with these characters, is to try and just, at face value, they may like seem like, for example, it may seem like Layla is just like the typical shy girl, which I can understand why people might think that, but again, I want to add a bit more depth to her, spoon feed a bit more story about her as it goes on. Try and make it realistic somewhat.
Right, and we have
can be difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure that's always the struggle. And we have seen so far that there's a character from Layla's past who probably has a lot to do with kind of her being in a shell, so to speak. Sometimes people can do that. They can kind of keep to themselves because they're trying to protect themselves, you know, especially emotionally. Yeah. So more to come with that. Again, we don't want to spoil it. But in talking about these characters and the way you're trying to build out the relationships as realistically as possible, that's probably a good time to talk about how you came up with the idea for the story originally. Is this something that you've had in the back of your mind for a really long time?
Yeah, actually, if we're going back to its infancy, is originally I have a drawing of it somewhere from like the early 2000s, where it was just about Dylan, Joe, and Marv. It was just like a trio of boys at high school. It was something along the lines of like Ed and Eddie. If you've seen the show,
yep.
Yeah, again, that was a show that was a massive influence on me. But then after watching a show called Lovely Complex, which was a high school romance, and I never delved into it, that sort of thing before. And because I always sort of, like, back then, I always shone, like, rom-coms. I was like, no thanks. But after watching that, it really opened my eyes to the idea of doing, like, a romantic plot line and develop actual characters in their relationships and that, which is something I never thought of before until I saw that show. So, yeah, it's just a vibe evolved from probably about 2008, which is where I posted it back on DeviantArt. That's where it's, I'd say that's like the official time I conceived it originally.
Now, I have to ask, being that so many artists and creators do these kind of things when they're going back and telling stories in high school or college, they'll often find themselves drawing inspiration for characters from actual people that they knew. Is there any of that in the story? And I'm sure it's not, okay, Dylan is exactly who this guy was that I knew way back in the day. But do you find that some of the traits of the characters are being pulled from real life people that you actually went to school with?
Yeah, to an extent. But the weird thing is I went to an all-boys school, which might be a bit odd to some, but yeah, despite the gender, that is pretty much each character has been somewhat inspired. Obviously a bit more exaggerated in the comic, but yeah, Joe especially is someone I definitely knew. Not knew well, but he definitely was based off someone at school. And again, even with Layla and Sally, who are girls, but still, there were people at school that I knew who were like that. So, yeah.
I guess that helps to add to the realism, right?
Yeah, to an extent, again.
Now that you've got 43 episodes under your belt, as we record this, the characters, we've seen some evolution. We've seen some growth in some of the characters. Has that evolution taken place the way you thought it would, the way you originally planned out for the narrative, or have there been some surprises in the story for you as the writer?
For the most part, it has gone to plan, because this is mainly the reason why I started the whole series again after doing it on DeviantArt, is that I didn't plan very well. And with this second attempt, I've done as much planning as possible. Some things didn't go anything as planned, but that's like with the recent couple of episodes, episodes 44 and 45, to people who have fast passed that. Besides that, though, for the most part, yeah, it has gone to plan.
As a creator, when it goes to plan, there must be some kind of relief to that, so to speak. Like, okay, I still have my footing under me. I know where it's going. Or do you prefer to have a little surprise where you come up with another idea or you have to change something on the fly because you realize what you originally had planned doesn't necessarily suit the character as another idea you might have later? Is being able to shift on the fly like that like more fun and more challenging, or do you prefer that everything goes to plan?
Well, that's the thing with the recent couple of episodes I did sort of do it for fun, as I've hopefully that sort of comes off that when people come go to read it. I don't mind going sort of spontaneously doing something. Again, something I have done in the past, like just little bits here and there, but despite the planning. But I get a bit of a kick out of it.
I want to go back to something you said previously. You said character first. And we've talked about some of the ideas of the story and the themes with this gang of friends who are – they really show how much they care about each other and the feelings. Sometimes in the character of Sally, maybe – they go too far. You know, she's always sticking her nose in everybody else's business, but it comes from a good place. So clearly that's, you know, maybe the biggest theme is this idea of friendship and loyalty and selflessness. But you mentioned character first. So there has to be a balance there. I imagine I don't think you started off this story and correct me if I'm wrong thinking, okay, I'm going to tell a story about, friends who always put the needs of others in front of themselves. You've got to build it from a point of, hey, these are good characters and an interesting situation that they're in, an interesting story, and then thematically the other things come out organically. Would you say that that's true for you?
It wasn't my priority at first. Like, I was just thinking about creating these characters and then thinking, what can I do story wise? So yeah, it was
and being that they're teenagers and you've got this idea of strong friendship and strong bonds, I think that's probably something a lot of us who have already gone through high school, already gone through secondary school, can relate to. Is that the aspect of the story that resonates most with your readers, or is there another aspect of the story that people seem to really respond to? Maybe it's the bullying, maybe it's being at a new school and the struggle to make friends. What is it for the readership that seems to be most interesting?
As you pointed out, the bullying is definitely one that readers are, let's say, passionate about. And secondly, again, not trying to spoil things, but the shipping is one. So it's nice that I'm getting the kind of response I kind of wanted. So, but I must admit, I'm amazed at how passionate people are on Webtoon, to be honest. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a great community. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. But before we get to that, I did want to ask some questions sort of about the narrative and the illustrating, really, because I'm curious, when we have a creator who's doing both, is there a particular part of it? Is it the writing that you enjoy more? Is it the illustrating more enjoyable for you? Maybe it's some other aspect of the story. When it comes to creating a strip, what is the most fun for you as the creator?
The best part is when it all goes to plan. Because sometimes you'll do a drawing and you get frustrated. Again, I'm not too fussy with it now. Like, I've sort of learned to compromise since starting this job. But again, because I have, that's why planning to me is so important. Like, if I was going to be writing stuff on the fly, I think I'd get stuck and get quite frustrated with it. So I guess it's a mixture of both. But I will say I'm not the biggest fan of drawing backgrounds. Backgrounds are forever a struggle for me. So I'd say, yeah, writing and drawing are sort of equal when things go to plan, that is.
Well, as far as backgrounds go, Jason, you're not alone. I hear that from I hear that from a lot of webtoon artists. It's the backgrounds. Yeah, can't skimp on the backgrounds because it shows. It's always a struggle. But can you give us a breakdown? How do you put together an individual episode? I imagine you must have a big, you know, kind of general overview of the entire story, kind of a more broad outline that you then pull ideas from to create the script for the actual episode. So take us through your workflow. How do you put together an episode?
Well, like you said, I've got, like, before I even started doing this comic, this was part of my planning, was doing, like, it's kind of messy, but it's a lot of bullet points of beats through the story, basically up to the end. And I have a look at that, see what I can, how I can fit that into an episode. And again, this is where filling in the gaps can be a little bit awkward when I don't have it written down. But again, I've sort of winging it can be quite fun, but like I don't do it too much because of this. But, and then after that, I obviously start sketching the panels. Sketch everything first. And sometimes I do complete a panel entirely before moving on to the next, but I don't do that all the time. Depends how I'm feeling, to be honest. And then obviously start doing the cleanup and doing the framing of the panels. And then is a case of stacking the panels on top of each other. It takes about maybe 40 to 50 hours maybe to do one episode now. It's slowly getting quicker, which is to be quite encouraging. So yeah. In terms of writing a script, I don't really use scripts. I do sometimes, again, it's just bullet points of what characters might say that are important in the episode. But yeah, I don't really write scripts that much because for me, that's quite time consuming. So I try and think of what the character's saying. And again, with the bullet points really help.
Yeah. It sounds like you're almost working in the Marvel method where you have a broad idea. And you take those broad ideas, and in this case it would be, okay, here's the one or two bullet points from the big outline that I want to have show up in this episode. And then you kind of do those rough panel layouts that you were talking about. And that is sort of your script, right? That is how the story moves along. And then you go back and clean it up and put in the dialogue, so to speak. Is that accurate?
Yeah. It's basically, well, before this, I did sort of learn a bit of animation as well, and that's basically the same sort of process. Like, just sketch things out first, and then if something doesn't work, you can just scrap it. And the worst case scenario is that it may have taken you about half an hour to sketch out. So, yeah, it's best. That's why it's probably not best to complete a panel entirely first before moving on to the next, because you might not actually want it, which is why I suggest trying not to do that.
Yeah, and do you work? You work all digitally?
Yeah, I work all digitally now. Yeah, it's a lot easier.
much faster too. And what kind of one last question about the illustrating aspect of it? Do you find that you like working in the format of the vertical scroll for Webtoon, or is it more challenging?
At first, it was quite challenging because before it was selected to be cover feature. Series, all of my panels were 16:9, like you would see on a TV. And that's how I always did my framing, like for certain shots. So adapting to the vertical scrolling at first was quite difficult, but I'm getting the hang of it now. Yeah.
Cool. Well, you mentioned in the couple of upcoming episodes, 44 and 45, you kind of went off and got to do something spontaneous, and that was really fun for you. Are you? Is that what you're looking forward to most? That's coming up in the strip to have readers experience to see if they kind of respond to and that fun you had doing those a couple episodes comes through.
Yeah, the only fear I have is that I try not to be too long with them. Like, I don't want to be off the beaten path either. Like, don't get me wrong, I still have fun doing the story, of course. It's just nice to be sort of more free with my drawings as well. Like, maybe that might come across in the panels because of the kind of theme it goes into. So yeah, that's probably mainly why I had fun with it, is I could have been a bit more loose in my drawings, because one thing I must confess is that I do struggle with like subtlety in like faces and that sometimes, which can be like one of the most time consuming things. But when you're being a bit more actiony and being a bit more loose, it's a lot easier to put things down, and it's a lot quicker, of course.
Gotcha. Well, I'm really looking forward to it. As I said, I read all 43 episodes in one sitting. I didn't plan on that, but you did a really good job of giving us little cliffhangers at the end, and I just couldn't stop. I want to see what's going to happen. And then I didn't realize I was on episode 43, and I went to scroll the next one, and it wasn't there. I was like, oh, man, come on. So I'm really looking
forward. Well, I'm glad you're liking it.
Yeah.
I'm doing something right.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure a lot of the readers are feeling the same way. So, but again, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do want to talk a little bit about the platform itself. You know, being that this is your first big project that's out there, it's pretty successful. You've got a good number of subscribers and what looks like a good readership community in the comments section. So give us your thoughts on the Webtoon platform overall as someone who's coming to comics as a creator for the first time.
Well, obviously, I don't want to sound like a shill, but this is actually coming from the heart. It's one of the best platforms that I've experienced for comic creators, because if I go back to when I was posting the old DYG on DeviantArt, I was getting maybe like max, I think over a course of like many, many years as well, like the max views is like 2,000 or something. And then after that, I tried posting it on YouTube again to no avail. Like, I didn't get any views for it. And when I discovered Webtoon, which ironically, I discovered the site through a hate comment from a YouTube user. He mentioned it. I was like, oh, what's this Webtoon? And I'll have a little look. And once I started using it, like, next day after I posted, I think it was 5 episodes, I was already getting comments and likes. I was like, crikey, this is a pretty big platform, I'm guessing. So I'd never heard of it before. This is around about 2016. So yeah, I'd say Webtoon is probably, if you want to do this stuff, if you want to post webcomics, I'd highly suggest Webtoon. I've mentioned this on my streams as well, so it's not me being a complete shill.
Is it that built-in readership that you think is what Webtoon offers in terms of value? Is that the best thing about the platform from a creative standpoint, in other words?
Yeah. And I think, well, for me, since being a featured creator, I think what's really important as well as a platform is that I can actually communicate with someone. So having an editor is, I think, really helpful. Because, for example, I know it's a different sort of media, but YouTube, you're sort of left on your own and you can't contact anyone. I think that's another thing that's really important, is just having someone to communicate with.
Yeah, having the ability to bounce ideas off of somebody, right?
Hmm. Yeah. And to make sure I'm actually spelling things correctly, as it turns out.
That's always good as well. One thing I wanted to ask, I like to ask this question of all the creators who are on here sort of for the first time on the Webtoon platform. Is there something that you wish you knew about the platform or about the creative process, like a lesson that you learned that you kind of wish you knew when you started out, that you would, you know, if somebody else were starting out on Webtoon and said, hey, you know, give me some advice, what would that be? What's something you learned that you can kind of pass along to help somebody else avoid making the same mistake?
Yeah, the first one is paneling slash guttering, because when I originally posted it, I literally just posted panels with no like outside framing. It would literally be a 16 by 9 picture. It would be all stacked on top of another. There wouldn't be any spacing in between. So I highly suggest doing that. And again, I wouldn't recommend doing too many shots 16 by 9 either. Again, you want to work with the vertical scroll, and you got to consider that as well, I suggest. And also with another issue I had was the size of the font. I think they like 18 point and higher. Don't be too small, because that was another thing I got comments on when I first started, was that people couldn't read it. It was too small, and that's something I never considered. So yeah, and obviously a lot of the users on Webtoon apparently use mobile phones right. to read. So that's another reason why font size is quite important. It's better to be bigger than too small otherwise. Otherwise, that's a lot of changing. That's going to be time consuming. I can tell you that.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier when we were talking about what readers have responded to most about the series, a lot of that being the bullying. I'm sure that there are people who can relate and feel like they're, you know, getting a voice finally and a chance to talk about that. Is that what's been the most rewarding for you in terms of fan community, being out, that you're reaching people who the story is resonating with?
Yeah, it is, because I personally didn't expect it. It's just icing on the cake, really, that people can say they can relate to these characters. Because like I said, although I'm usual sort of a realistic approach of them, they are a little bit over the top at times, but that is all intentional. But yeah, saying when people say they can relate to a character, that does mean a lot, and just the fact they enjoy the comic itself. So yeah, it's really nice. It's a nice surprise.
Yeah, another thing that I hear a lot from creators is about how great the community of people creating on Webtoon is. It's like a big family of creators. Have you had a chance to take advantage of that? Have you met any other Webtoon creators or interacted with them online, gotten advice, that sort of thing? Have you been able to take advantage of that?
No, because I'm a bit of an introvert as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I would really like to. And of course, because living in the UK, I'm not aware of many people from the UK who are on Webtoon. I think there are a couple. I can't remember the names of them, though. But yeah, I would like to eventually, because I've been invited to go to a couple of the expos over, but the problem is it's over in America, mm-hmm. so it's quite a stretch. But I would love to do something like that one day and talk to creators and, yeah, ask for advice. But closest I've been is talking to Eunice, my editor, who has been a lot of help, and yeah, she's been great.
Well, I can tell you from talking to creators who've gone to those conventions and being at LA Comic Expo last year, mm-hmm. It's definitely take advantage if you can, Jason, because not only is it a lot of fun, it really it re-energizes you, and you can't wait to get back and work on the strip. It's really a way to kind of refill your creative fuel tank, if you will. So, and I'm sure you know that, so take advantage mm-hmm. If you can.
Yeah.
So as we wind up here, I want to give you the opportunity. Anything else you want to share? If you have other projects coming up, or if you there's anything you want to say to your readers, the floor is yours.
Well, firstly, I'd like to thank everybody who is stuck around for Gear Mobile Gang. And of course, everybody who's come by new. I just appreciate everybody who has just come by and gave it a chance. And of course, I'd like to thank Webtoon itself and Eunice for giving me the opportunity in the first place. It's honestly something I never expected, because, well, yeah, even though I entered it into the composition back along, I can't remember what it was for. It was for Discovery New Series. Even though I didn't win, that still didn't matter in the end. And for people starting out, if you're thinking about it and you're on the fence, I would suggest just post an episode on there on Webtoon anyway. You don't know what happens. You never know what happened, as it turns out. You can be lucky.
Yeah, that's good advice. I always like to say, you know what, 100% of readers aren't gonna enjoy your story if they've never had a chance to look at it. You know.
Yeah, I believe as well. Another thing I believe as well is that everybody has an audience. It's just obviously exposure variance, but that's something I truly believe.
Yeah, that's good advice as well. So, again, Jason, it was great having you on. Good luck with the strip. I think it's something that's really enjoyable. And if anybody wants to follow along online, social media, ask advice, or just know when you have episodes coming out and that kind of thing, where's the best place online to find you?
For social media, I use Twitter and Instagram. They are both Jason King, DYG. You can follow me on YouTube as well if you wish, but I'm not active on there. It's Keeper of Pork. Again, I think it's named Jason King DYG, but the user URL is Keeper of Pork. Make things complicated. And of course, the Omerful Gang uploads every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, I think. I think on my time. I'm not entirely sure, but I think in the West it uploads on a Monday. So yeah. That was a good plug.
Well, everybody, if you're having trouble finding Jason on social media, I'll put some links in the show notes for his Twitter and Instagram, so you can go click there and give him a follow. So thanks again, Jason. It was great having you. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you, Jace, for having me, and hopefully it wasn't too awkward.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.